Oh my goodness, that's so sad. Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to the Mom and Michael Hour. It's our final hour on Sunday nights from 10 to 11 p.m. with my son, Michael Battle, all the way from Los Angeles. Jonathan, you must be in a really sad mood. Are you okay?
No, I played this.
You got a cough due to cold or something?
I played this particular song for a reason. It's because we're still trying to search for a theme for one Mr. Michael Battle. And I figured in the meantime, I'd play his acquaintances, his friends from Haim.
Oh, you should really just stop doing that. That's just a sad song to open up the segment.
I appreciate that he remembered. And I can't call them my friends because I went to college with SD, and that was a very long time ago. I'm surprised if she would know who I am at this point. But yes, we used to hang out years ago. I used to go to their shows back in the day. She used to invite me. Yes, but it's been quite some time. And now they have, of course, become hugely famous since then, won all kinds of awards, released multiple albums. And but Mom, I agree with you. It was a little subdued.
A little bit. You know, I just wanted to start with me. It's like, no. Don't cry. Yeah, it was all of that. Okay.
He just said that I'm here. He just didn't want me to join. That's what it was.
But I appreciate you trying a new song with that.
So, although,
hey, Michael, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say something I'm not crying about that I'm really happy about. It's Halloween is over.
Yes, thank God. Although there are still scary movies on, Michael.
There's still scary movies in theaters. Those are on TV. There's still some decorations up around here in Los Angeles. But for the most part, I have been happier that Halloween is done. And it ended, and I kid you not, like the following week, or actually no, the following 2 days, the cold snap came in LA. And now we have this beautiful, crisp fall air coming in, which I know it's been cold in the Twin Cities for quite some time, but it is sweater weather for sure out here right now, and it's just beautiful. And then it rained for like 2 days, torrential rain in LA, and then the skies cleared up. And when you used to live here, I think you've seen it, what it's like in LA when it rains and it clears all the smog and soot out of the air. How beautiful it is here. So it feels like fall. It smells like fall. We have our sweaters on. I'm so excited. And I had my phone on shuffle. I did let one Christmas song play in the car. Just one. It wasn't a famous one.
Shame on you, shame.
It was, but it's a Jamie Cullum song that he released, I think, during the pandemic. And it's about, like, you know, the warm times when we're all around each other, you know? And it doesn't say the holidays, it doesn't say Christmas, and it's very cheery and bright. And I was like, well, this is fine. Not really a Christmas song, even though it totally is. So, yeah, one song plays.
And what is that song again?
I have to go look it up because "Turn on the Lights" was the main single from the Christmas album that Jamie Cullum released. But this other one is something about warm celebration. So you know what? I'll look it up and I'll tell you what it's called later on. But it's quasi Christmas. You know what I mean? It's not
right.
Not full on Christmas.
But did you say the song was "Turn on the Lights"?
No, sorry, it's called "Beautiful, comma All Together." That's the name of the song.
How did that happen?
Called Beautiful.
I thought you said it was a different title.
Well, no. So "Turn on the Lights" was the first single from that album. And this is the other song that I purchased from this same album. And the song is called Beautiful Altogether. Of course, the album's called The Piano Man at Christmas. So it's a Christmas song. But I allowed it. I allowed the one driving down the beautiful streets of Los Angeles. And, you know, I'm ready. I'm here for it. I still have to watch Coco. I usually watch Coco, Disney animated film, on November 1st. And I missed it this year because I was too busy. So I still have to watch that one. And once I do that, once we get past my birthday and Thanksgiving, it's, you know, we're there. It's happening. I'm excited.
Well, I love it when you're excited, Michael, because there's always something you can glean from it and tell me all about it. And we just laugh or we celebrate or whatever it is. I appreciate that. And speaking of celebrating, I want to mention that Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis were inducted into the Rock Hall of Fame. That is a big, big deal. And I'm really excited about it. Congratulations, fellas. Y'all deserve it. Jimmy Jam, his name is James Samuel Harris, and the third, by the way, and Terry Stephen Lewis. They are both American R&B pop songwriters and record production team. They have enjoyed great success since the 80s with various artists, most notably Janet Jackson. And by the way, did you know that they got inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Did you know?
I didn't until I just heard it on the news break, actually. That was the first time I heard about it. So I'm glad you're adding additional context here because I did not know that, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so excited. But there are pictures of them on the stage, you know, accepting their award. And Janet Jackson is standing right there, and she has like a mile-high hairdo.
Mm.
When I say mile-high, it's so high, it's got to reach like some of those metal things in the ceiling, you know? You have to look it up, Michael, and see it. It's really quite remarkable. I don't know how she kept it on. I don't know how she did it, but God bless her. But her album Control that came out in 1986, oh my gosh, do you remember how many songs you guys loved off of that album?
All of them. That's all. It's funny because I played that album again, I think last year. I think it was on my phone. Anyway, I played the whole thing. No, this was like 3 years ago. And I realized that almost every song on there sounds the same, but it's the same level of awesome. So I wasn't mad. I was like, these are all still the jam. That album is still front to back. You can put it on.
Is.
It's a jam. It's fantastic.
It's a jam. Right. Although some people go, well, how old are you?
True.
I don't know what album you're talking about.
That's true. That is
okay, what were some of the songs on that album other than Rhythm Nation? We all remember that, right? I tried to do moves, Michael. That didn't work out.
It didn't work for any of us. She was really good. She is a really good dancer, you know?
Yeah,
so,
she really
is. That whole Rhythm Nation dance routine that she does around the chair with the famous black outfit, it's iconic. And I, to your point, truly am showing my age because I know someone is like, what is he talking about? What music video? Who? What?
Right.
Yes, but this was...
those people that are too young and talking about this conversation, saying, who are you talking about? What album are you talking about? They are too young. They do not need to go into bars or drinking alcohol. They need to start drinking milk before they go to bed. They're too young.
But, you know... You say that, Jonathan, but you, when you really break it down, not really. I mean, there are people in their 20s, mid-20s, late 20s who don't really have that sort of pop culture understanding because they were just too young.
Like I said, take your new you-know-what home. Don't need to be out the bar partying. You got school tomorrow. That's how young you are.
Well, you know, she did songs on that album like What Have You Done For Me Lately and Nasty Boys, you know, When I Think of You, Let's Wait a While. But what was that song? That's the Way Love Goes. Ooh.
That's the Way Love Goes.
That's the way
you have to do the whisper part.
Was that part of it? Was that part
that
of that
later
album?
On. Was later on. But, you know, I could be wrong. I don't know. By the way, I'm distracted because I just looked up the hairdo.
Okay.
And,
right. Right.
I saw it. And just to give some context to this, you were not kidding. The pompadour of hair she has on top of her head is literally 2 feet tall, maybe more. And then it cascades down the side all the way back to her shoulder. But the thing is, she looks amazing.
Amazing. She's so beautiful. She's so beautiful.
So real quick, I just want to go down a list of the songs from that album.
Okay.
So the first song was Control, the title track. Then Nasty. Then What Have You Done For Me Lately? Mm-hmm. You Can Be Mine. The Pleasure Principle. When I Think
Great
of You.
Video.
When I Think of You was on that album.
Is that the one where she's like in a, you know, one of those corny, the Coney Island kind of places?
I'd have to go back and look at that.
Oh, you don't know? Come on, like the master of like
No. He doesn't know I'm alive. Let's wait a while. And funny how time flies when you're having fun.
That was all the Control album?
Yes.
You know, maybe the album that I have is all the Control remixes, because that would explain what they sounded like, because I know most of those songs, and they sound totally different. I love those songs. So I think I had something else. That would explain a lot.
Yeah, me too.
You know what?
The next album that came out, so Control came out in 1986,
wasn't it?
Wait, Mom, you were talking about Rhythm Nation. That's a totally different album.
Yeah, that's a totally different album. Is that right?
That's not Control.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rhythm Nation
sure?
is 1989. Yeah. Yes.
So 3 years later after Control.
And Control the remixes was in between in 1987. So that might be the one that you have, Michael.
Well, she grew up. Let me tell you something. She became much more mature with the Rhythm Nation album.
Going off topic just a little bit here, but you got to remember, Janet Jackson has been in the public eye just like the rest of her family since she was a kid. She was Penny on Good Times.
You think we don't know?
I'm just saying, there are people out there that don't.
If I was about to make fun of him so bad.
Did you not know me? I've met her, thank goodness. I had a chance to meet her. I mean, come on.
No, trust me, if you think people are too young talking about this conversation, you think people are old enough to remember Good Times?
No, but I think a young person would hear Janet Jackson, and she's been famous their entire life, so they would know that, yeah, she's been famous a long time, and they would assume that she maybe was younger. But I think most people know that all of the Jacksons are or were famous their entire lives. So I would hope.
Not all the Jacksons, just the Jackson 5 and Janet. You know, because she had three other sisters or two other sisters that just did not get into the music business.
Well, there's LaToya, and then...
Don't speak of it.
Hey.
Sorry.
Hey.
Sorry.
I'm just saying.
That's terrible. I'm so sorry. And by the way, we started out talking about Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. So I want to make sure we know that we're talking about the 37th Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis won the award. And I'm so happy that they are now a part of this really incredible list of people that have gotten into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That is huge. It's huge for us. Terry, I'm not sure if Jimmy is from Minnesota, but Terry is. So I'm just really happy that some of our...
It's in the story. I believe Terry went to North, and Jimmy, he went to another local school. They're both from the Twin Cities.
Both from the Twin Cities. Okay. Well, I just love those guys. I've had a chance to work with them. I absolutely think they are amazing, very gifted. And the sound that they came up with was so amazing, Michael, so amazing. So between that album with Janet, some of my favorite albums with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, my goodness, there were so many stars that they wrote songs for, Michael. Can you remember any of them?
Of their other songs, you're saying?
Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis had so many songs, so many groups that they wrote for. Sounds of Blackness, our own Sounds of Blackness, three-time Grammy Award winners. It was that first album that they helped, you know, that not just helped, but Jimmy and Terry, they wrote those songs. You know, and of course, my brother Billy had a chance to write, and a few others in the group had a chance to write songs as well. Seriously, this is big. This is huge that they're finally in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Finally.
Yeah.
You know. So are there any albums that you can think of that you've loved or what?
Let's go to break, and we'll try to find some of those.
I don't like you right now. I tell you. I'm just kidding, Jonathan. I'm just kidding. Okay, we're going to take a break, everyone. We'll be back in a moment. You were looking at pictures of Janet Jackson. I know it. Welcome back to the Mom and Michael Hour. Hi, Michael. Are you there, son?
He was distracted.
I think he was.
He saw her hair, and he just, you know, it was too much. It was too much hair.
All I'm doing is trying to help you all out, trying to find a song written by Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, and all.
Right.
And I'm searching through all the archives here at the station, and
I appreciate that.
I'm trying to help out.
Well, they wrote songs, you know, Sherelle, I don't know if you remember her, Michael, but it was I Didn't Mean to Turn You On, 1984. Then yep. Force MD's Tender Love, have no idea what that sounded like. Janet Jackson's Control in 86. Janet Jackson's The Pleasure Principle in 1987. That was smoking. The Pleasure Principle. Okay. On Morris Day, Fishnet, have no idea. New Edition, Can You Stand the Rain? Great tune, man. Great songs. They really put out some great songs. And by the way, the Steels, those that don't know, my siblings, Javita, JD, Fred, and me, we had the honor of being a part of Graffiti Bridge, the movie. And we had so much fun. We were there for, what, 2 weeks? And we got a chance to really bond with Mavis Staples and Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. I mean, they're like family to us. We had so much fun, so much laughter, so much joy. So if anyone get a chance, if you get a chance to watch the movie Graffiti Bridge, I just want you to know that we were all on that, and it was so much fun. I was just honored to be among all of them, including Prince, of course. He was like family to us, so I have to just mention that, of course. So, so many songs that Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis have written, and yes, they absolutely deserve to be on, you know, in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, period. Enough said.
Agreed. Totally agreed.
Agreed.
Yeah. So many great songs.
Oh, he's silent, Michael. Did he go somewhere? Go ahead.
We were so mean to him. No, I was just going to say, I'm looking down the list on the Wikipedia page of songs written by Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, and just seeing some of the artists they work with. They worked with a lot of, you know, artists from that late 80s, early 90s time, like Janet Jackson and Boys to Men and Shantae Moore, Sherelle, Elle DeBarge.
You don't think we know that?
I know. I'm just going down. So, you know, you're talking about specific people,
minute,
and there are other people that he worked with. That they
hold
worked
on,
with.
Hold on.
But they also did stuff with, and the thing that's so great and recognize it, they did songs for Barry White. They did songs for Aretha Franklin and Gladys Knight and the legends.
I didn't know that.
And so you the breadth of their work to be recognized by those legendary people, those legendary artists, and say, come write something for us. We want something from you. That just speaks to their greatness.
So here's how this went. So, Jonathan, we love you. And you came through with some interesting facts there that I didn't know, like Aretha Franklin, a few of those I didn't know. I didn't know that. That was amazing. You did repeat like five of the names that Mom said in your list, but that's all right.
Trying to help y'all out.
Exactly. No. I support you. I support you. You may have played a Britney Spears song, but I support you. We love you, Jonathan.
I know. I was trying to find something real quick from them. I could have looked for some Mariah Carey or Mary J. Blige. Now, what I should have played, I didn't think about this. I should have played Scream.
Oh.
Because that's one of their songs.
Yeah, let's play that.
Wait, that's one
let's
of their
play that.
Songs?
Well, that is her and her brother together.
No,
that's
but
Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis song?
That's what it says here.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are you looking at? What
this is their Wikipedia page.
We should verify.
I thought
that
it was the guy from Teddy Riley did that album that Scream is on. The History of whatever it was called, The History of Something with Michael Jackson.
So I'm looking at the page Scream. Here, and it says Scream, Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson song, songwriters Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson, Jimmy Jam, and Terry Lewis.
Wow.
That's
and Jimmy
awesome.
Jam and Terry Lewis produced the song as well.
I did not. Can we play it right quick?
I got to find out. I'll bring us back in with it.
Also, okay, make sure you're playing the edited version, the clean version.
Trust me, I've taken care of that. We're good there.
Okay. All right, great.
So much to say. All right, we're going to take a break, everyone, and we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome as we wrap up this hour. Of course, this is the Mom and Michael Hour. My son, Michael Battle, is joining us from Los Angeles. And then you also hear Jonathan Lowe, our producer, in-studio producer here at WCCO. I do want to say, Michael, when it comes to, you know, holiday gifts, when it comes to women, it's always about comfortable pajamas and, you know, the blankets and sheets that are just perfect and, you know, the same old, same old. That's how I look at it. But when it comes to guys, you guys get some pretty cool, you know, options. Like there's one called the Hamilton Beach Dual Breakfast Sandwich Maker. Have you heard of that?
No. What is that?
Because I know Joey loves all of these appliances, these little appliance things. Well, it looks like a waffle maker at first. And then you open it and it's, my goodness. Gosh, what is it called, Michael, when you want to?
I know exactly. Did you say panini press?
Yeah,
no.
Press. It's not like a panini press. I remember we had this growing up. So basically, do you remember like the sandwich makers that would kind of cut diagonally across the bread when you were making these sandwiches?
Yeah,
it's one of those.
No, this one I'm looking at is like English muffins, right? So you have two English muffins, and the top part of when you lift up the handle, they stick there. I don't know what's holding them there. Maybe there's a little pointed thing that holds onto them. But at first, it's the two of those. And then it's the eggs that go in the next level. And then under that can be an extra egg or vegetables. And then the bottom part of the English muffin with cheese on it. And then you close the whole thing together and you get these, you know, supposedly incredible dual breakfast sandwich makers.
Why did they just call it the at-home egg McMuffin maker? Because that's what it is.
That's it. I mean, that's what it is. It looks just like McMuffins.
They're egg McMuffins. Like, do you love McDonald's? Now you can do it at home. But healthy and real.
Exactly. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Jonathan, the sandwich maker you're talking about with square bread where it kind of heats up and then presses the whatever's inside the sandwich and then sears it in a diagonal. My mom actually got me one of those for Christmas when I was a kid because I used to cook a lot when I was younger. I loved cooking and I loved kitchen appliances. So I used to have one of those too and they were delicious. And it was a fun lunch because you could put some like chopped up chicken, some cheese, some mayo, and just, you know, heat the whole thing up. And it basically made hot.
Did you say chocolate fresh chicken?
Chopped up chicken.
Oh, chopped.
Yeah, chopped up chicken. But you know what? You could do a chocolate chicken sandwich, too. I mean, that could be a Halloween treat if you want it, because whatever you put in there was warmed up, sealed in the bread, and it was delicious.
Yeah, nobody would ever come to the door. Hey, another thing I wanted to mention is that men always seem to get luggage for gifts. Do you think so, Michael? I mean,
no. Luggage is expensive. I just bought a new suitcase for the first time last Black Friday. Now, the reason why it was my first time purchasing my own suitcase is because I think I've taken like three of yours over the years.
Right.
My main suitcase that I traveled with all over the place is one of the suitcases that you actually brought here when we first moved here, or maybe one of the trips you came here and you were like, I don't need this. You can use it. And I wore that suitcase in so much that the actual fibers of the lining, and this is a decent suitcase, but the fibers of the tech fabric, if you will, had frayed so much that you could see the plastic on the edges of the bottom of the suitcase and look in there and see clothing. And the last couple of times, the zipper would pop sometimes, and the edge of the zipper that was actually on the fabric was coming off. And I still travel with it. And I was like, well, I'm going to put it on the plane, you know, and say a prayer. And I have to get home, and it's going to bust open. But it didn't. It lasted those last two flights, and I finally said, you know what, I'm an adult. So I went to the Toomey outlet out here in Los Angeles and got myself a brand-new adult suitcase. I felt very proud of myself. But they're very expensive, and that's why I say that it's not a common gift.
Toomeys are expensive. Yep.
But all suitcases, like decent suitcases are very, very expensive. I will say, Mom, though, that weekend bags, I feel like, you know, a short 3-day trip duffel bag is something more of a gift that you might see for, you know, fathers, brothers, and friends.
Okay, well, here's one I've found for men. It's called the Rumple Beer Blanket Six Pack. Literally, it's a can of beer with a blanket, a little tiny blanket around it. How dumb is that? I mean, beer is supposed to be cold.
So is it a beer cooler handle thing? Or
it has little tiny, it's a blanket, like insulated thing that goes, like, you know how you put the can of beer inside, you know, a little tiny blanket thing that holds it.
A beer cozy.
It's funny because, you know, you're talking to two people that don't drink beer, and we're trying to think of what that name is. Like, what's that thing called that goes around?
Well, this one's called Rumple Beer. Yeah, Rumple Beer Blanket. It's so ridiculous. And it says here, this is how they describe it. His beers deserve to be cozy this winter, too. So bundle them up with these beer blankets. And with this six-pack, he can always snack his favorite design or share with his friends. Oh, gosh.
First of all, I need to say that, but I can't. Your voice is so beautiful. And just hearing you read that ridiculous description is the best. But I would love to meet the copywriter who wrote that, because that a beer blanket reminds me of the new trend at high-end clothing stores now, which is vegan leather. Have you heard about this?
No, but I'm not surprised.
It makes me want to scream. So I went to the store and I was like, oh, these pants are the same pants that I bought at Ragstock in high school for one of our dances, which was themed as a disco party. So I bought some pleather pants
right.
for my costume for the party. That same material is now cut in fashion, you know, outlines, and it's not called pleather anymore. It's called vegan leather. It isn't even faux leather. It's vegan leather because, you know, it's sustainable and you aren't killing the animals.
Is it made out of vegetables or something?
No, it's the same mess. I laughed so hard. I said, oh, what is this made out of? It's so soft. I said, oh, it's vegan leather. I said, you mean pleather? That thing
right.
I bought at Ragstock?
Right.
In the 2000s? And how much? I'm like, oh, yes, this is $400. Oh, for what? Yeah, pleather is now vegan leather. It's intensely expensive. It does come in some very cool fashions. It is sustainable. It is a better option. But brilliant branding and marketing on that to take, you know, fake leather, which used to mean that, you know, you couldn't afford the real deal, and now make it the same price as what real leather used to be back in the day.
Right, exactly. So, Jonathan, there's another one here called UGG Ascot Leather Slippers. I mean, I want you to wrap your head around that, right?
So do they look like ascots on the outside? What does that mean?
I have a question. What should we ask Scott? Like, should we ask him how he's doing? Or, like, what's the question? I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
So here's the description. Keep his feet comfy and cozy with these fluffy wool slippers from UGG. Plus, with a leather exterior and rubber sole, these slippers can be worn by him in the morning when he gets the mail. So send his behind outside in some leather. Ascot slippers.
So, okay,
and soon as he step in the leather, they are destroyed.
So I guess these are the type of shoes that you wear when you wear an ascot. I'm looking at them and they're just look like just fancy-ish type slippers. So I guess this is the when you wear your ascot to the polo grounds.
Oh god.
Or to the racetrack.
But wait a minute. If you need warm slippers, it means it's cold. And if it's the holidays, it's snowing. In what snow state in the country are you wearing slippers to get the mail in 2 feet of snow? It's not Minnesota, I can tell you that.
It's a bit surprising.
The thing for me is that who would wear UGG boots when it's snowing outside? But there are people around that wear UGG boots outside in the snow.
They wear them all the time.
Right. So here's the last one I'm gonna come up with. It's called Restelli's Faroe Island Salmon Fillets 4-Pack. Four salmon fillets. That's it. Here's the description. There's nothing quite like a delicious home-cooked meal. So whether your papa is a top-notch home chef or you want to cook for him this year, try out these salmon fillets from the meat delivery service, Restelli's. We tried it ourselves, and it was legitimately some of the best salmon we've ever tasted. Y'all know y'all went over there to, like, come and got those salmon. Come on. No way. why the $35 for these skinny four pieces of salmon?
Wait, four pieces of salmon for $35? That's better than restaurants in L.A.
Well, that's restaurants. They cook it for you.
That's better than restaurants anywhere.
That's true, but these prices.
Anyway, that was fun to go through what men can get. I mean, it just blows my mind. But we get socks and you know, really plain pajamas and, oh, jeez.
No, that's not true. Okay, if we're going to gender gifts, which is a little old-fashioned for me today, but if we're doing that, really, come on. We just heard the Shane Company. I've been hearing those ads since I was a kid. It's diamonds. That's like the most quintessential holiday gift for women. It's an insanely expensive jewelry. And I do this thing every year where the summer is expensive for me because there's, you know, travel and fun and friends. And then the holidays are expensive because I love to give gifts and there's all kinds of parties. I think for most people, it can be an expensive time of year. And I was laughing with my friend Melody recently. I said, you know, New Year's happens and then I disappear for like 4 months. Like you won't see me in these streets. You won't see me at the club. I won't be at the restaurant. And she was cracking up like, yeah, you do disappear because I just have to recover. I'm at home eating chicken and spinach and watching TV. I'm not going anywhere because I need my tax refund to come in. I need to just pay some bills for a few months. And then around April, I'm like, hey, everybody, let's go out. Let's go do something.
Yeah, sure. We'll see how that works out. Oh, and by the way, it wasn't just men's gifts. They were also offering women's gifts. But when it comes to men's gifts, they decided to do one particular other type of guy. They upgraded Grandpa's barbecue setup with his nifty skewer rack.
I'm waiting.
I don't understand. That is basically it. It holds six kebabs and flips them all at once to help him get an even cook every time. There's so much to say, man. This is so much to say. Y'all don't. It reminds me of this guy that was at a show Javita and I were doing with, you know, with a band and having a great time. And his phone rang and he was sitting right in front of the stage and his phone rang and he answered it. And I said, you answered it? Javita said, who are you calling? I mean, what are you, who is calling you? We're performing. Oh, I'm really sorry. I have to take this. It's my wife. And I said, oh, okay. He said, she's got to, you know, she wants to make sure I took my pill. I said, what color is it?
Oh, they must have.
That we have to go to break. I know we do.
So sorry, Jonathan. We'll be back. We'll be back. Oh, yeah. There you go, Jonathan. Yes. Woo. Okay, so what was the name of this group? Go, Jonathan.
This is New Edition. You were asking me for another different New Edition song that we did not have in the repertoire, but we had this one, so I was able to throw it in.
This was one you had. Okay. What is it?
If it isn't love.
If it isn't love, why do you feel this way?
Yeah. That's the jam. I love that song.
Why does she stay my mind? Yeah. Bobby Brown wasn't in that group, was he?
Yes.
Was it? Yeah, he was.
Yeah, Bobby Brown was in New Edition, yes.
Yes, he was there.
Okay. And what was that song that was huge for him? It's My Prerogative.
My Prerogative. He did another one. What was the other one he did? I thought there was another hit he had other than My Prerogative. I'll look that up.
I don't know.
I'm still laughing.
I love that song.
I'm still
Can't
laughing.
Why are you still laughing?
I'm still
Oh, I remember that the other Bobby Brown song.
When you asked that question about the color of the pill, like I'm trying to recover. Did he answer you?
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome as we wrap up this hour. Of course, this is the Mom and Michael Hour. My son, Michael Battle, is joining us from Los Angeles. And then you also hear Jonathan Lowe, our producer, in-studio producer here at WCCO. I do want to say, Michael, when it comes to, you know, holiday gifts, when it comes to women, it's always about comfortable pajamas and, you know, the blankets and sheets that are just perfect and, you know, the same old, same old. That's how I look at it. But when it comes to guys, you guys get some pretty cool, you know, options. Like there's one called the Hamilton Beach Dual Breakfast Sandwich Maker. Have you heard of that?
No. What is that?
Because I know Joey loves all of these appliances, these little appliance things. Well, it looks like a waffle maker at first. And then you open it and it's, my goodness. Gosh, what is it called, Michael, when you want to?
Did you say panini press?
Yeah.
No.
It's not like a panini press. I remember we had this growing up. So basically, do you remember like the sandwich makers that would kind of cut diagonally across the bread when you were making these sandwiches?
Yeah.
It's one of those.
No, this one I'm looking at is like English muffins, right? So you have two English muffins, and the top part of when you lift up the handle, they stick there. I don't know what's holding them there. Maybe there's a little pointed thing that holds onto them. But at first, it's the two of those. And then it's the eggs that go in the next level. And then under that can be an extra egg or vegetables. And then the bottom part of the English muffin with cheese on it. And then you close the whole thing together and you get these, you know, supposedly incredible dual breakfast sandwich makers.
Why did they just call it the at-home egg McMuffin maker? Because that's what it is.
That's it. I mean, really. That's what it is. It looks just like McMuffins.
They're egg McMuffins. Like, do you love McDonald's? Now you can do it at home, but healthy and real.
Exactly. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Jonathan, the sandwich maker you're talking about with square bread where it kind of heats up and then presses the whatever's inside the sandwich and then sears it in a diagonal. My mom actually got me one of those for Christmas when I was a kid because I used to cook a lot when I was younger. I loved cooking and I loved kitchen appliances. So I used to have one of those too and they were delicious. And it was a fun lunch because you could put some like chopped up chicken, some cheese, some mayo, and just, you know, heat the whole thing up. And it basically made hot.
Did you say chocolate fresh. Chicken?
Chopped up chicken.
Oh, chopped.
Chopped up chicken. But you know what? You could do a chocolate chicken sandwich, too. I mean, that could be a Halloween treat if you want it, because whatever you put in there was warmed up, sealed in the bread, and it was delicious.
Yeah, nobody would ever come to the door. Hey, another thing I wanted to mention is that men always seem to get luggage for gifts. Do you think so, Michael? I mean,
no. Luggage is expensive. I just bought a new suitcase for the first time last Black Friday. Now, the reason why it was my first time purchasing my own suitcase is because I think I've taken like three of yours over the years.
Right.
My main suitcase that I traveled with all over the place is one of the suitcases that you actually brought here when we first moved here, or maybe one of the trips you came here and you were like, I don't need this. You can use it. And I wore that suitcase in so much that the actual fibers of the lining, and this is a decent suitcase, but that the fibers of the tech fabric, if you will, had frayed so much that you could see the plastic on the edges of the bottom of the suitcase and look in there and see clothing. And the last couple of times, the zipper would pop sometimes, and the edge of the zipper that was actually on the fabric was coming off. And I still traveled with it. And I was like, well, I'm going to put it on the plane, you know, and say a prayer. And I have to get home, and it's going to bust open. But it didn't. It lasted those last two flights, and I finally said, you know what, I'm an adult. So I went to the Toomey outlet out here in Los Angeles and got myself a brand-new adult suitcase. I felt very proud of myself. But they're very expensive, and that's why I say that it's not a common gift.
Toomeys are expensive. Yep.
But all suitcases, like decent suitcases, are very, very expensive. I will say, Mom, though, that weekend bags, I feel like, you know, a short 3-day trip duffel bag is something more of a gift that you might see for, you know, fathers, brothers, and friends.
Okay, well, here's one I've found for men. It's called the Rumple Beer Blanket 6-Pack. Literally, it's a can of beer with a blanket, a little tiny blanket around it. How dumb is that? I mean, beer is supposed to be cold.
So is it a beer cooler handle thing, or?
It has little tiny, it's a blanket, like insulated thing that goes, like, you know how you put the can of beer inside you know, a little tiny blanket thing that holds it.
A beer cozy.
It's funny because, you know, you're talking to two people that don't drink beer, and we're trying to think of what that name is. Like, what's that thing called that goes
around? This was called Rumple Beer. Yeah, Rumple Beer Blanket. It's so ridiculous. And it says here, this is how they describe it. His beers deserve to be cozy this winter, too. So bundle them up with these beer blankets. And with this six-pack, he can always snag his favorite design or share with his friends. Oh, gosh.
First of all, I need to say that, but I can't. Your voice is so beautiful. And just hearing you read that ridiculous description is the best. But I would love to meet the copywriter who wrote that, because that a beer blanket reminds me of the new trend at high-end clothing stores now, which is vegan leather. Have you heard about this?
No, but I'm not surprised.
It makes me want to scream. So I went to the store and I was like, oh, these pants are the same pants that I bought at Ragstock in high school for one of our dances, which was themed as a disco party. So I bought some pleather pants
right.
for my costume for the party. That same material is now cut in fashion, you know, outlines, and it's not called pleather anymore. It's called vegan leather. It isn't even faux leather. It's vegan leather because, you know, it's sustainable and you aren't killing the animals.
Is it made out of vegetables or something?
No, it's the same mess. I laughed so hard. I said, oh, what is this made out of? It's so soft. I said, oh, it's vegan leather. I said, you mean pleather? That thing
right.
I bought at Ragstock?
Right.
In the 2000s? And how much? I'm like, oh, yes, this is $400. Oh, for what? Yeah, pleather is now vegan leather. It's intensely expensive. It does come in some very cool fashions. It is sustainable. It is a better option. But brilliant branding and marketing on that to take, you know, fake leather, which used to mean that, you know, you couldn't afford the real deal, and now make it the same price as what real leather used to be back in the day.
Right, exactly. So, Jonathan, there's another one here called UGG Ascot Leather Slippers. I mean, I want you to wrap your head around that, right?
So do they look like ascots on the outside? What does that mean?
I have a question. What should we ask Scott? Like, should we ask him how he's doing? Or, like, what's the question?
I just want to make sure we're on the same page. So here's the description. Keep his feet comfy and cozy with these fluffy wool slippers from UGG. Plus, with a leather exterior and rubber sole, these slippers can be worn by him in the morning when he gets the mail. So send his behind outside in some leather. Ascot slippers.
So, okay,
and as soon as he step in the leather, they are destroyed.
So I guess these are the type of shoes that you wear when you wear an ascot. I'm looking at them and they're just look like just fancy-ish type slippers. So I guess this is the when you wear your ascot to the polo grounds.
Oh god.
Or to the racetrack.
But wait a minute. If you need warm slippers, it means it's cold. And if it's the holidays, it's snowing. In what snow state in the country are you wearing slippers to get the mail in 2 feet of snow? It's not Minnesota, I can tell you that.
It's a bit surprising.
The thing for me is that who would wear UGG boots when it's snowing outside? But there are people around that wear UGG boots outside in the snow.
They wear them all the time.
Right. So here's the last one I'm gonna come up with. It's called Restelli's Faroe Island Salmon Fillets 4-Pack. Four salmon fillets. That's it. Here's the description. There's nothing quite like a delicious home-cooked meal. So whether your papa is a top-notch home chef or you want to cook for him this year, try out these salmon fillets from the meat delivery service, Restelli's. We tried it ourselves, and it was legitimately some of the best salmon we've ever tasted. Y'all know y'all went over there to, like, come and got those salmon. Come on. No way. They're $35 for these skinny 4 pieces of salmon.
Wait, 4 pieces of salmon for $35? That's better than restaurants in L.A.
Well, that's restaurants. They cook it for you.
That's better than restaurants anywhere.
That's true, with these prices.
Anyway, that was fun to go through what men can get. I mean, it just blows my mind. But we get socks and you know, really plain pajamas and Oh, jeez.
No, that's not true. Okay, if we're going to gender gifts, which is a little old-fashioned for me today, but if we're doing that, really, come on. We just heard the Shane Company. I've been hearing those ads since I was a kid. It's diamonds. That's like the most quintessential holiday gift for women. An insanely expensive jewelry. And I do this thing every year where the summer is expensive for me because there's, you know, travel and fun and friends. And then the holidays are expensive because I love to give gifts and there's all kinds of parties. I think for most people, it can be an expensive time of year. And I was laughing with my friend Melody recently. I said, you know, New Year's happens and then I disappear for like 4 months. Like you won't see me in the streets. You won't see me at the club. I won't be at the restaurant. And she was cracking up like, yeah, you do disappear because I just have to recover. I'm at home eating chicken and spinach and watching TV. I'm not going anywhere because I need my tax refund to come in. I need to just pay some bills for a few months. And then around April, I'm like, hey, everybody, let's go out. Let's go do something.
Yeah, sure. We'll see how that works out. Oh, and by the way, it wasn't just men's gifts. They were also offering women's gifts. But when it comes to men's gifts, they decided to do one particular other type of guy. They upgraded Grandpa's barbecue setup with his nifty skewer rack.
I'm waiting.
I don't understand.
I just don't.
Oh, that is basically it. It holds 6 kebabs and flips them all at once to help him get an even cook every time. There's so much to say, man. Y'all don't. It reminds me of this guy that was at a show Javita and I were doing with, you know, with a band and having a great time. And his phone rang and he was sitting right in front of the stage and his phone rang and he answered it. And I said, you answered it? Javita said, who are you calling? I mean, who is calling you? We're performing. Oh, I'm really sorry. I have to take this. It's my wife. And I said, oh, okay. He said, she's got to, you know, she wants to make sure I took my pill. I said, what color is it?
Oh, they must die.
That we have to go to break. I know we do.
So sorry, Jonathan. We'll be back. We'll be back. Oh, yeah. There you go, Jonathan. Yes. Woo. Okay, so what was the name of this group? Go, Jonathan.
This is New Edition. You were asking me for another different New Edition song that we did not have in the repertoire, but we had this one, so I was able to throw it in.
This was one you had. Okay. What is it?
If it isn't love.
If it isn't love, why do you feel this way?
Yeah. That's the jam. I love that song.
Why does she stay my mind? Yeah. Bobby Brown wasn't in that group, was he?
Yes.
Was it? Yeah, he was.
Yeah, Bobby Brown was in New Edition, yes.
Yes, he was there.
Okay. And what was that song that was huge for him? It's My Prerogative.
My Prerogative. He did another one. What was the other one he did? I thought there was another hit he had other than My Prerogative. I'll look that up.
I don't know.
I'm still laughing.
I love that song.
I'm still
Can you
laughing.
Stand the rain? Why are you still laughing?
I'm still.
Oh! I remember that the other Bobby Brown song.
When you asked that question about the color of the pill, like I'm trying to recover. Did he answer you?
See, here's the thing. As soon as I said that, what color is it? There was a pause, and then the audience just fell out laughing. You know, because I was not going to say, was it the blue pill? I just couldn't.
No.
No.
I mean, they knew.
His wife was telling him, you need to take your pill right now. So I'm like, okay, if you're calling a club, talking about, you know, you got to take your pill right now.
I'm trying to recover. I'm just like, where do you go from there? How do you come back and talk about anything else besides what that man was doing?
By the way, the other song I was thinking of from Bobby Brown was Every Little Step I Take.
Oh, yeah. You're on my mind. That's right. Oh, these great songs, which are, you know, it's funny. I find myself, when I'm listening to live radio, listening to what is now like the easy listening, or like the station that I used to listen to that would play like songs from the 70s and 80s. And now it's like all the songs that I used to hear as a kid or even in high school are playing on those stations as like oldies yeah. and today. And I'm like, oh no, what happened? And then I turn on Top 40 radio. I'm like, at Top 40 radio, there's all these just children singing weirdly into microphones really close to them with all these synths on their voice. And I'm like, well, this sounds terrible. And then I go over to my other station, like, ah, yes, 80s music. I'm like, oh, no. What happened where I only will listen to those stations? But I find them very relaxing.
Yeah, what do you call that? Auto-tuning, I think, or something like that. And I just, I don't know, Michael. I don't do it. I want to just be me. If my voice has to be perfect, you know, perfect pitch, then I just won't do it. I'll just get on stage and do what I do. I don't want to do the auto-tune like that. But a lot of people do.
If someone said we're going to pay you huge amounts of money to sound that way because that's the sound of Top 40 radio, would you do it?
I'm sorry, where's the studio right now?
Exactly.
I'm on my way. Hey, speaking of on my way. Yeah, right. Exactly. Okay, Michael, so the billion, almost $2 billion is up for grabs when? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow it is the drawing for Powerball. It's currently at $1.9 billion, but I think obviously it's going to cross $2 billion by the time the drawing actually happens because everyone and their mom is out there trying to buy a ticket right now. And just the fact that you could win after tax $1 billion is truly mind-blowing. So hopefully someone will win tomorrow. We'll see what happens. And hopefully that person is me. So wish me luck.
I don't know if luck is the thing, you know. The people being honest, making sure that the lottery company that's going to make that announcement, you know, that they're doing the right thing. You just never know, Michael. I mean, $2 billion? Are you kidding me? Never has that happened before. So there you go. All right. It's been a pleasure being with everyone. Michael, I have had so much fun with you and Jonathan tonight. So thank you. Thank you. Jonathan, thanks for taking and trying to find the songs that I wanted and without me telling you at the beginning of the night. So I really appreciate that, sir. Thank you. And of course, Michael, your birthday is coming up, son. So you know your mama is gonna send you something, right? Right?
You don't have to send me a thing.
He's not there. Jonathan, you hung up on Michael. Okay. Good enough. Love you, son. Jonathan, take care. And good night, everyone. Thanks for sticking and staying with us. Good night. Oh, yeah. There you go, Jonathan. Yes. Woo! Okay, so what was the name of this group? Go, Jonathan.
This is New Edition. You were asking me for another different New Edition song that we did not have in the repertoire, but we had this one, so I was able
but
to throw it in.
This was one you had. Okay. What is it?
If it isn't love.
If it isn't love, why do you feel this way?
Yeah. That's the jam. I love that
song. Why does she stay my mind? Yeah, Bobby Brown wasn't in that group, was he?
Yes.
Was it? Yeah, he Michael. Was.
Yeah, Bobby Brown was in New Edition, yes.
Yes, he was there.
Okay. And what was that song that was huge for him? It's My Prerogative.
My Prerogative. He did another one. What was the other one he did? I thought there was another hit he had other than My Prerogative. I'll look that up.
I don't know.
I'm still laughing.
I love that song.
I'm still
Can you
laughing.
Stand the rain? Why are you still laughing?
I remember that the other Bobby Brown song.
When you asked that question about the color of the pill, like I'm trying to recover. Did he answer you?
See, here's the thing. As soon as I said that, what color is it? There was a pause, and then the audience just fell out laughing. You know, because I was not going to say, was it the blue pill? I just couldn't.
No.
No.
I mean, they knew.
His wife was telling him, you need to take your pill right now. So I'm like, okay, if you call in a club talking about, you know, you got to take your pill right now.
I'm trying to recover. I'm just like, where do you go from there? How do you come back and talk about anything else besides what that man was doing?
By the way, the other song I was thinking of from Bobby Brown was Every Little Step I Take.
Oh, yeah. You're on my mind. That's right. Oh, these great songs, which are, you know, it's funny. I find myself, when I'm listening to live radio, listening to what is now like the easy listening, or like the, it's the station that I used to listen to that would play like songs from the 70s and 80s. And now it's like all the songs that I used to hear as a kid or even in high school are playing on those stations. Is like, oh, yeah. They end today. And I'm like, oh no, what happened? And then I turn on Top 40 radio. I'm like, at Top 40 radio, there's all these just children singing weirdly into microphones really close to them with all these synths on their voice. And I'm like, well, this sounds terrible. And then I go over to my other station, like, ah, yes, 80s music. I'm like, oh no, what happened where I only will listen to those stations? But I find them very relaxing.
Yeah, what do you call that? Auto-tuning, I think, or something like that. And I just, I don't know, Michael. I don't do it. I don't do it. I want to just be me. If my voice has to be perfect, you know, perfect pitch, then I just won't do it. I'll just get on stage and do what I do. I don't want to be auto-tuned like that. But a lot of people do.
If someone said we're going to pay you huge amounts of money to sound that way because that's the sound of Top 40 radio, would you do it?
I'm sorry, where's the studio right now?
Exactly.
I'm on my way. Hey, speaking of on my way. Yeah, right. Exactly. Okay, Michael, so the billion, almost $2 billion is up for grabs when? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow it is the drawing for Powerball. It's currently at $1.9 billion, but I think obviously it's going to cross $2 billion by the time the drawing actually happens because everyone and their mom is out there trying to buy a ticket right now. And just the fact that you could win after tax $1 billion is truly mind-blowing. So hopefully someone will win tomorrow. We'll see what happens. And hopefully that person is me. So wish me luck.
I don't know if luck is the thing, you know. The people being honest, making sure that the lottery company that's going to make that announcement, you know, that they're doing the right thing. You just never know, Michael. I mean, $2 billion? Are you kidding me? Never has that happened before. So there you go. All right. It's been a pleasure being with everyone. Michael, I have had so much fun with you and Jonathan tonight. So thank you. Thank you. Jonathan, thanks for taking and trying to find the songs that I wanted and without me telling you at the beginning of the night. So I really appreciate that, sir. Thank you. And of course, Michael, your birthday is coming up, son. So you know your mama is gonna send you something, right? Right?
You don't have to send me a thing.
He's not there. Jonathan, you hung up on Michael. Okay. Okay. Good enough. Love you, son. Jonathan, take care. And good night, everyone. Thanks for sticking and staying with us. Good night.